Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, while we're all obsessed with tariffs, other troubled parts of the world are being ignored. For instance, Syria. Since the fall of the Assad regime, have things improved at all for its citizens? The journalist and author Sally Hayden has been a regular visitor to the country over the last few months. Afternoon, Sally.
Hi, thanks for having me.
In Damascus and other places that you've travelled to around the country, what are the conditions like in a general sense in terms of getting food and electricity supply and that kind of thing?
In Syria, to be honest, the situation is quite dire. I've been there on and off since the regime fell, people are very happy in terms of, having more freedom of speech. They don't necessarily know what's coming next, but there is still kind of a delight that level of fear has been lifted. But at the same stage, yeah, they're just kind of grinding poverty. It's really difficult for people. In Damascus, for example, you get around 3 hours of electricity a day. Internet is poor. There's long queues for bread. The UN says that 90% of Syrians are below the poverty line and 75% of the population depends on some form of humanitarian aid. We've just heard as well that the US seems to be cutting its support to the World Food Programme to distribute food in Syria. So, yeah, things are really disastrous. And, you know, a lot of the sanctions still remain as well, which have caused huge problems for people.
Are there many or any aid agencies operating on the ground?
Yeah, there are. And there are both international ones and local, Syrian ones. I went to an iftar, for example, about 2 weeks ago. That was for children and women with disabilities. And that was giving them, meals. And that was totally Syrian organized. And they raised money from the diaspora. There are a lot of initiatives. But there's people massively struggling. And the sanctions, it's really hard to understand unless you've experienced it. For example, like Syrians abroad can't send money to Syrians at home through bank accounts because of the sanctions. So it really affects everything as well.
And in terms of violence, I suppose there's a number of headings there, but Israeli incursions into Syria, how regular are they?
That's one thing that I was reporting on the week before last. I was in southern Syria. Since February 10th, data compiled by an analyst called Charles Lister found that there's been 89 ground incursions and 29 air and artillery strikes across southwestern Syria, as well as 35 airstrikes elsewhere in the country. So Israel has been taking more land effectively, first taking a demilitarized buffer zone, then moving beyond that. And in places that I was, it was quite regular for locals to see Israeli soldiers kind of on patrols. I went to a village called Koya, where 6 people were killed and others were injured in Israeli attacks. And the Israeli forces, they say that they started after local gunmen opened fire at them. This was on Israeli territory. On a Syrian territory.
That sounds like then that the IDF is maintaining a permanent or semi-permanent presence in parts of Syria now.
Yeah, and so basically they, when the Assad regime fell, they both launched hundreds of airstrikes across the country targeting military sites and military infrastructure, but they also seized ground. It does seem like they're saying that they're going to have a long-term presence. And we don't know how much, are they going to keep seizing more ground or how that's going to work. But people in southern Syria, they're very concerned about this. They say, the moment of joy when they could have celebrated the end of the regime was kind of taken from them because now they have this new concern.
And there was also reports, now this is going back a few weeks, but in Assad's home base or where his family originated from, are those attacks still continuing? Or that violence, is that still continuing?
I'm not certain if that violence is continuing. Definitely not at the scale that it was. But I know that, there's been a committee set up by the new government. Hundreds of civilians were killed from what we know. And that's really shocked a lot of people because I think like, yeah, everyone I talk to, nobody wants to return to war. They don't want to return to violence. But, you know, obviously these sectarian tensions, they're still there and they haven't just disappeared because the regime fell. And there's a lot of people, you know, who are very angry about things that happened in the past. And there's also a lot of questions over whether the current government can control these kind of militant groups that are aligned with it. So it says that it's setting up, you know, a Syrian army, but as to how much control it actually has over all the fighters that are aligned with it, that's kind of arguable.
Given everything else that's going on in the world, I imagine a lot of Syrians feel that they've just been forgotten about.
I'm not sure. I think that, there are Syrians all over the world, and, like, you have to also realize, you know, the scale of the diaspora now, the scale of support. You know, when I was in Damascus, I was meeting people who had come back, for example, a chef, a Syrian chef who had come back from Germany, who's a German citizen now, who was spending a month just making food for people who were in need. You know, you're meeting all the time people who are looking at different ways that they can help their country. And I think a lot of Syrians grew very kind of exhausted by the response of the international community. Often you'll hear people say, you know, we just want to be able to do things ourselves now. We want to be listened to, you know, we want to have our voice able to say what is best for our country. But of course, you have many different views as to what that might be. And that's what they're trying to reconcile. I think and a big one is the sanctions. Like, that's really, you know, when I speak to people, they just say we need stability. And part of that is economic stability. And, you know, if we're not being helped with that, like, that's potentially going to lead to, you know, massive long term problems.
In all the visits you've made, have there been even any small signs of improvement?
Yeah, I mean, people say now, for example, that electricity is better, the security in some places at least is better. I was in Homs 2 weeks ago, and they were saying that they do think the situation is improving, but of course, yeah, there's still concerns, and that's not to downplay any of the kind of wrongdoing that has happened. But I think that now there's a new government just been appointed as well. It's, you know, has representatives of Druze and Alawites and Christians, the Kurdish community as well. And that's kind of seen as potentially a positive step, but some people argue it's not enough representation. So, yeah, things are at least happening. But as to what's going to happen long term, it's still very early stages.
Sally Hayden is a journalist and author. Sally, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.